Welcome to the National Retiree Legislative Network podcast, produced by and for American retirees and those over age 50. I'm Bill Catterite, president of the NRLN and your podcast host. If you're listening to this podcast, go to NRLN.org and click NRLN Videos and Podcast color icon in the middle of our homepage. Then select episode number 7 to view this video, including its tables and charts. On NRLN.org, our website, on the taskbar, click Contact Us, and then contact the NRLN, where you can send an email or call us toll-free at 866-360-7197. Offer comments, questions, and suggestions. In episodes 2 and 3, and in this episode 7, we cite the 2010 U.S. Census and annual and special report data from the Medicare Trustees, Medicare Payment Advisory Committee, MedPAC, Congressional Budget Office, the Health and Human Services Inspector, and the Inspector General for HHS, and other available government and private research reports. In episode number 2, we displayed this chart of the 2010 census data to dispute that baby boomers caused the unmanageable Medicare cost bubble. Congress ignored census data, and the obvious tsunami of Medicare costs headed our way as our population ages naturally. The census tells us that all baby boomers will be 65 or over by 2026. Then are no longer a growth factor. By 2060, our grandchildren will be in Medicare and part of 100 million Americans, 25% of the U.S. population, who will be over age 65. Instead of addressing this natural eventuality, Congress in 1997 chose a path to privatize Medicare, and by 2003 passed legislation strangling official fee-for-service Medicare's ability to competitively bid out products and services. They approved billions in rebates every year to subsidize health care insurance companies. Thus, over a 23-year period from 1997 to 2020, a generation of members of Congress and four presidents have spent over $400 billion in rebates to subsidize privatization. Yet, in 2019, CMS payments per enrollee to insurers of Medicare Advantage plans were 104.9, call it 105%, of the payments made to original fee-for-service enrollees. Payments made for Part B were 118% of fee-for-service. The 104.9% average was lower only because Part A hospital care was only 91%. Well, you'd think that would be good, but the Medicare trustees warned this has only happened because age 65 retirees, a major growth target of insurers, spend less time in hospitals. In 2020, rebates are forecast to be $122 a month per enrollee, $1,464 a year per Medicare Advantage enrollee. Expect 26 million enrollees and $38 billion in rebates to be paid in 2020. In episode 3, we presented data showing that in 2018, 44% of Medicare revenue came from general revenue. Part A hospital care was 88% funded by the 1.45% payroll tax we've all paid as we worked. 72% of Medicare Part B, though, was funded by general revenue, and only 26% by Part B premiums. General revenue funded 71% of Part D, and only 17% of Part D was funded by premiums. Part C, Medicare Advantage payments to insurers, was funded by the Part A trust and Part B and D general revenue stream, commingled as it is. Don't be fooled when you hear Medicare is going to bust by 2028. It's the Part A trust, not Medicare, that is going to bust, and is attributable to fewer workers paying the 1.45%, but with millions more added to Medicare, and therefore the trust will run out. Now you know the real problem. Part B and Part D are funded 72% and 71% respectively by general revenue. This is a major budget problem that Congress has no clue how to fix except to privatize Medicare. Chart 2, in a minute, shows Medicare total expenditures were $796 billion in 2019, exploding by 101% to $1.5 trillion in 2029. Medicare enrollees grow by only 25% to 77 million by 2029. So expenditures grow four times the number of those served. Healthcare cost is grossly out of control and is the elephant in the room. Medicare Part B alone doubles from over $300 billion to $660 billion from 2019 to 2029 in just 9 years from now. Chart 2 shows that from 2016 to 2020, Congress increased rebate funding from 8% of payments to Medicare Advantage insurers to 13%. That's up 50% in 4 years. A drive to privatize Medicare and shift Medicare cost to seniors. This is the current federal government health care plan for Medicare. That's all they've got. It's all they talk about. It's not sure that pre-existing conditions issues apply even to Medicare people, as opposed to those in the Affordable Care Act. Now, Chart 4 lists the new 2019 and 2020 so-called chronic benefits that Congress funded to be paid for with increased rebates and that enabled sleazeball advertising and lowball pricing to attract more retirees to enroll in Medicare Advantage plans. This action has angered 40 million on original Medicare, who are physiological equals with the 20 million on Medicare Advantage plans. They pay taxes and fund rebates, yet Congress denies them access to the benefits they pay for. American competition is just not funded on subsidies for losers. Insurers will walk away from the Medicare market if rebates are unlimited or they can't make a big profit. They have never competed without rebates in 23 years and never will be able to compete with fee-for-service cost per enrollees if fee-for-service is well managed. In short, privatization has failed and it's time to do something about it. Where did these rebates come from? The Wizard of Oz? No one seems to know. If you ask people, they don't know. What is this quality bonus program, the QBP, that rates insurance companies and pays them the rebates and as bonuses for delivering quality and service? What are they all about? When they don't really ever deliver healthcare products or services. Think about it. Insurance companies don't deliver products or services. The real value-added providers don't get the bonuses or rebates. The middleman does. Example I like to use is imagine buying a new car with an MSRP of $55,000 and a market value and sale of $50,000. So a $55,000 car is going for $50,000 and you buy it for $46,000 and save $4,000 over the market price. And it comes with a 5-year warranty and good service. Then the dealer calls you 12 months later to advise you that the J.D. Power Award he received was a 4.5-star rating and that you owe him a 70% rebate. $2,800 from your $4,000 savings. Would you pay it? No, I wouldn't, and I know you wouldn't. But members of Congress bought this scheme. This is what the Q Quality Bonus Plan is all about. And they funded rebates and new benefits. Then hundreds of them became Medicare Advantage champions for a K Street lobby firm financed by the insurance industry. In the meantime, MedPAC, Congress's watchdog over CMS payments, said on page 396 of its 2020 report to Congress, quote, over the years, the commission has discussed the flaws in the five-star system and the QBP and the continuing erosion of the reliability of data on the quality of Medicare Advantage plans. The current state of quality reporting in Medicare Advantage is such that the Commission's yearly update on Medicare Advantage can no longer provide an accurate description of the quality of care in Medicare Advantage, unquote. Wow. And we're going to pay insurers $38 billion for rebates this year in 2020? That is insane. Table 2 defines a six-step process used to determine rebates. This is what's going on behind the scenes, folks. Chart 3 is a visual of the Table 2 data, so it's one and the same study. Benchmarks, bonus bids, and risk factors used change only as star ratings change by the plan. It's a 1 through 5 star rating plan. Step 1 in the fee-for-service benchmark for Part A and B benefits is $1,000 monthly. That's what CMS sets the benchmark at for the market basket of Part A and Part B benefits. It's in the top line. Step 1A adds a 5% bonus to benchmarks, but only for plans rated at 3.5 to 4.5 star. So the first two plans earned a 5% bonus, but the one-star plan at the far right didn't. The new benchmark in Step 1 is $1,050, $1,000 plus a 5% bonus for plans that earned the bonus. On Step 2, the plan bid, the initial plan bid by the insurance company, is $874, plus there's the 2% risk adjustment for total debt for a total bid of $891, including overhead and profit. The benchmark is also adjusted 2% for risk to match the risk in the bid. So on Step 3, that's where that happens. And Step 4 is the max rebate available. It's the spread between Step 2, the standard bid, and Step 3, the revised benchmark. The spread in these two first columns is $180 and is $129 in the third plan. Plans rated 4.5 stars or above are awarded 70% of this spread. Four-star plans get 65% of the spread. And a one-star plan, imagine that, 1 star out of 5 is awarded 50% of the spread. So everybody wins, no matter what your quality rating is. Rebates on Step 5 are added to Step 2 bids to become the monthly payment per enrollee on Step 6. That's how much the insurance companies paid every month per enrollee in every plan. The last row is the percent that rebates are of Step 2 bids. And respectively, that's 14% for column first plan, 13% for the next, and even the 5-star plan gets a 7% rebate of their bid. 74% of plan enrollees were rated 4-star plus in 2018. An insurer's obvious strategy would be to score 4.5 stars or better, bid low to maximize the spread, and win the award of 70% kickback. Star ratings are dubious at best, according to MedPAC, and the HHS Inspector General, and the Government Accounting Office. The QBP is an obvious ploy to legitimize subsidies. Really? I mean, a 50% rebate for 1 star out of 5? The QBB is appropriately named a bonus plan. It's an intentional misrepresentation of a quality plan that is cheating retirees and costing taxpayers this year $38 billion. And every year forward, it's going to grow. The NLN has a preliminary plan of action that would protect current Medicare Advantage enrollees, kill bonuses and rebates, and focus fee-for-service resources on cost reductions, introducing new programs, and incenting the actual user, not the middleman. Ask Congress to revise statutes to allow competitive bidding of everything and drive a renewed effort to save Medicare fee-for-service for our children and grandchildren, and to assure economic stability for the 100 million over age 65 retirees who are on the horizon. Watch for and listen to NLN's plan, as we will detail that in another video. The NLN is your source for the truth about retirement benefits, crucial to your future well-being and the financial well-being of your children, grandchildren, and our country. Stay current with news that affects you through our emails and our website at nrln.org. There you will find the links to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. On nrln.org also, you can click NRLN videos and podcasts, the color icon in the middle of our homepage, then select a podcast episode or video to play from our library, which is now up to 7 videos and audios. On nrln.org taskbar, you can click the Contact Us tab and select Contact the NRLN, where you can send an email or call 866-360-7197. Ask questions, offer suggestions, offer new topics, and sign up to get our NRLN messages, action alerts, and advance information about future videos and podcasts. Until next time, stay safe out there and enjoy your life. Seniors are special.